Would you turn with me on your device or in your Bible to Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. And when you have that, would you please stand? On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, the disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they, the disciples, feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I want to tag this text, "Jesus Calms the Storm." Jesus calms the storm. This is probably a familiar passage of scripture to many Bible readers. And I'm sure that many of you have heard several messages from this particular text. I'm led to revisit this text this morning for the benefit of somebody who might be feeling today that you are in the middle of a storm. If you're not familiar with the text, I want to give you a brief overview, a brief description. In the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, verse 35, this is the first time in Mark's Gospel that he gives a record of Jesus's ability and power over nature, that Jesus demonstrates that he is the Son of God with authority over all things, including demons and sicknesses and disease and the power over nature. The same God who spoke the world into existence and created the stars and the moon, the heavenly hosts, who scooped out the oceans with his hands and called forth the mountains, is the same God who is in the presence of the disciples in the person of Jesus Christ. Mark wants us to know without doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. It had been a long day for the Lord and his disciples. We read in earlier in the text in chapter 4 that early in that day, a multitude had gathered around Jesus, so he got into a boat and sat down on the sea. And the whole multitude was facing the sea. Then Jesus spoke to them all day using parables to teach them about the kingdom of God. Some who were listening listened with interest. Some who were listening, it went in one ear and out the other. Some people understood and some people didn't. But Mark says that Jesus taught all day and he used parables all day. He didn't say anything that was not parabolic all day until evening. And then Mark emphasizes that at the end of the day, when the multitude left, Jesus was alone with his disciples and he explained everything to them. on the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples who were with him in the boat, "Let us cross over to the other side." And the text says, "And they took the Lord Jesus with them as he was to cross the Sea of Galilee." Now, the Sea of Galilee, we are told, is surrounded by high mountains. So the sea sits like a basin. It's situated like a basin between mountains. The mountains above and the sea below. And on this particular evening, a violent wind swept down from the mountains and across the sea. The winds were so fierce that it filled the boat with seawater, tossing the tiny boat across the sea. The winds were fierce and drove the boat through the darkness of the night. And as it drove the boat, the boat was filled with seawater, so much so that those disciples feared for their lives. So that's the scenario. Here they are with Jesus, caught in the middle of a raging storm, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of the night. Don't you think that was a time of crisis? The text says that the storm raged. The storm was violent, that it tossed the boat to and fro. And if any of you have ever been on a boat or a ship, when the wind was blowing, you know that you don't get any footing. You have to hold on to whatever you can hold on to because you cannot stand alone. This boat was in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm. And the Bible says that while that storm raged, Jesus lay sleeping in the stern of the boat with his head laying on a leather pillow that was customarily used by the person who was steering the boat. The disciples, after trying everything they knew to do, because they were experienced fishermen, and this was not their first time in the storm, but there was something different about this storm, something more threatening about this storm. This storm was beyond their abilities, so they frantically looked for Jesus. It's out of their control. Jesus is on board. They didn't give him much thought while the sailing was smooth. But thank God he was on board. Apparently, there was no conversation with Jesus, so he just went to sleep. Because he won't bother you. If you feel the need not to bother him. But when things got out of their control, when they couldn't stand on their own, when the resources and skills and knowledge that they possessed couldn't give them any stability, when they got rocked by life, they remembered he was on board. And they frantically looked for Jesus. Their vision was impaired by the stinging waters whipped about by the gusting wind. It's hard to find them in the midst of a storm when your eyes are wet with tears. Hard to find him, but he's on board. And they know he's on board, so they finally found him. And when they found him, in panic, they woke him up and accused him of not caring. Did you hear what they said? Lord, they said, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing. If you're really God, why aren't you doing something? If you really are the Son of God, and since you're on board, you see what's happening, why don't you act? The Bible says, Jesus arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to us, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I need to stick a pin in it here. And the reason Jesus raises this question with the disciples at this point, because in Mark chapter 1, there's a brief introduction of John the Baptist. And then there is an acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God. Then Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son. Then Jesus began to heal people. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. He healed people in the disciples' house. He began to teach them and to demonstrate to them that I am God, just like he has done in your life since the time you met him. There's some things that has happened in your life before the storm that you're in now that Jesus proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can handle it. You know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. It is God that has brought you this far. It is God who has made a way for you. It is God who has healed your body. It is God who has settled things in your life with all that God has already done. In this present situation, why is it that you're so fearful? And why don't you have any faith? Have you ever been in a serious struggle, life situation? A time when it felt like the circumstances of your life were overpowering you? Ever faced unexpected events that caused extreme pressures in your life? Sudden occurrences pop up over which you have no control? Am I talking to anybody? Have you ever faced overwhelming forces that worked against you, pressing you against the limits of your own ability? Somebody is in that situation right now, and that's why this word is for you. Somebody right now, you're doing the best that you can, and it's taking all the strength that you got to maneuver your way through, and you're still coming up short. That kind of situation feels like a storm, doesn't it? Because ultimately, you have no control over what's happening. It seems like the more you try to resolve and correct the situation, doing what your power to what you have the power to do, things aren't getting any better. And sometimes things seem to become more severe. It's frustrating and it's frightening. It can alter your attitude. It can turn you into something that you are not. It can make you a menace. It can make you mean. It can make you hard to deal with because you have no control. And for some of you, to make matters worse, you may feel like you're in it all by yourself. You're in it all alone. And nobody cares about you, not even God. The good news in this text this morning is that when life gets stormy and the circumstances around you are out of control, disciples can know for a fact that God is present. That's good news. Somebody need to remember that this morning. Somebody, you know that when times of struggle are extreme, God knows how much pressure you can take. And he gives you the power to persevere if you tap into it in order to bring you out and to bring the best out of you. He positions you. You're going through something for a purpose. This storm has purpose in your life. You're going through so that when you persevere and you come out, you can receive the blessing that God has in store for you. You can't get it unless you go through. Listen to me. You cannot get it unless you go through. You've got to endure what you're facing right now. You've got to endure it. You got to know that God is present, and that when God gives you what you're after, when he blesses you with what he wants to bless you with, then you can glorify God. Y'all know some people get blessed and it's easy and they think they've done it themselves. Y'all know anybody like that? Strutting, walking around, acting like they got it all together because you haven't been through anything. You think that you are all of that. But for those of us who had to press our way through, had to pray our way through, those of us who cried our way through and tried our way through, when God blessed us after we have persevered, we know who gets the glory for the great things that he has done in our life. God is glorified. Not only is God glorified, we become witnesses to somebody else who is going through something that if you hold on, God will bring you through. Have I got a witness in here this morning? Is there anybody in the house today that knows that you are where you are and you're blessed like you're blessed because God is good? Amen. 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 Let me make a few observations this morning that I hope are helpful for somebody in the midst of the storm. Just a few observations. Notice verse 35. Jesus speaks to the disciples. He says, let us cross over to the other side. Don't miss this. Jesus says, let us go to the other side. Implied in the statement is the promise of Jesus' presence on the journey. You see that? In this life, for those who are believers, regardless of whether your faith is strong or weak, if you are a believer, regardless of how often you come to church, if you are a believer, regardless of how often or how seldom you read your Bible, if you are a believer, God promises to be with you. Amen. One of the benefits of being a disciple is that we never struggle alone, even if we are by ourselves. When you believe God, when you believe God, when you believe God, when you believe God that Jesus is the Son of God, when you believe he's on board, you don't have to do anything but believe. When you believe, he's on board. And the reason I know that is because if you believe, it was his power that brought you to believe in the first place. Somebody needs to hear me this morning.
If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it is the power of God that brought you to believe that in the first place. And in believing, it means that he's on board. Let us walk together. Let us cross over. Let us live this life.
You're not alone. He's in your life, even if he's asleep on a pillow, because you haven't bothered to talk to him. You have an unseen presence that's with you in the midst of your struggles and difficulties, which is able to give you peace and security. An unseen presence that is divine and personal. It is the presence of God who made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. And it is Christ who sent the Holy Spirit to be in us and with us. You don't walk alone. Jesus is with us. Notice that the storm that terrified the disciples was no problem for Jesus. Did y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
Did y'all see that? The thing that's keeping you up at night, the thing that is keeping you walking the floors, the thing that's got you filled with fear and anxiety is no problem for God. Listen to me. It does not matter what level of life you're living, how accomplished you are or not. If you are a believer, whatever you are dealing with that's causing you fear and anxiety is no problem with God. This storm is not an illusion. Excuse me. Not in your text, not in this text, and not in your life. This was an existential threat. It was a physical reality. There was no way around it. But because Jesus is on board, there is hope. I'm talking to you this morning. Because Jesus is on board, there is hope. Believe God in the midst of your trouble, because he will bring you through. There is hope. In times of extreme struggle, sometimes Satan takes hold of your thinking and your emotions. And Satan wants to make you feel hopeless. He wants to paint the worst case scenario in your mind, and he wants you to live in that scenario. He wants you to give up. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to feel less than God has created you to be. He wants you to give up on God and end your own life. And then he laughs at you and mocks your God. But I'm here to declare this morning that if you are a believer, Jesus is on board. And whenever Jesus is on board in your life, there is always hope. There is hope. Don't you dare throw in the towel. You don't have the right to take your own life. God has a plan for you. And regardless of how many times you rise and fall, every time you fall, get up again, because God is not finished with you. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with you. The devil wants you to make you think that God will throw you away, but no, he won't. You are precious in his sight. He died for you. You are precious. When Jesus is on board, you're a believer. You're a believer. You believe in God. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that. You believe that. He's on board in your life. When times get difficult, no matter how difficult they get, there is hope because Jesus is on board. You got somebody to talk to. You got somebody who is non-judgmental, not going to accuse you. You got somebody who understands your needs. He is deeply personal. There are no secrets from him. And he's there to help you. Someone who can identify with your struggles. That's why God became man. That's why Jesus came. That's why God put on a mantle of flesh so he can understand these things in a personal way. It's deeply personal. Regardless of what's in your heart, God knows what it is. He knows what it is. And he identifies with your struggle. And he has the power to bring you through. He's not going to let you down. Someone who is with you all the way, every day. He can feel your pain and he anchors you in the storm. Now, I know I got some witnesses here. If you need somebody to hold you down, you know, you can. It's good to have a spouse that will hold you down, a life partner that will hold you down. It's good to have relatives that can hold you down, to have a homie that can hold you down, you know, a sister friend that can hold you down. And that's good, but they all have their limitations. They can all go only so far and no further. But I know one. Have I got a witness here this morning? We know somebody. Hey, who can hold you down and has held you down in the midst of turbulent life storms? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice this morning? You are here today and you can witness that when the storm clouds rose and the harsh winds blew, the only thing that kept you from losing your mind was you had something on the inside. You had something. You had the Holy Spirit of God on the inside who held you down. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. I'm going to tell you what the trick of the devil is today. The trick of the devil today is to discredit your Savior. That's what he wants to do. He wants to discredit Jesus. Every day, all in the media, all in the streets, all in the schools, all in the corporations, all in government, they are trying to discredit Mary's baby. Trying to discredit the one that was born in a barn in Bethlehem. Trying to discredit the one who was baptized by John in the Jordan. Whom the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The devil is trying to discredit the one who walked the dusty roads of the Middle East, who gave sight to the blind and caused the lame to walk and raised folk from the dead. The devil is trying to discredit your Jesus, y'all. The one who died on Calvary, was buried in a borrowed tomb and raised from the dead. But don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. You need Jesus. Amen. You need somebody. Jesus in your life. To know that your sins are pardoned. You need to know that if you believe that his Spirit has taken up permanent residency in your life,
In the text, Jesus was asleep on a pillow because in his flesh, he grew weary and he had to sleep. In his flesh, he grew hungry and he had to eat. He grew thirsty and he had to drink. But Psalms 121 helps us with all of that, doesn't it? Can I recite Psalms 121 for us as we close this thing out? The psalmist says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you and sustains you and provides for you and protects you, he will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Have I got a witness? The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. My brothers and sisters, there's no way to get through life without going through some storms. You're going to have some tribulation. You're going to have some trials. And you're going to have some troubles. But they all come to make you strong. Have I got a witness here? Storms strengthen your character. For those who've been through, you're better now than you were before. Storms strengthen your character. Storms change your attitude. Storms build your faith. It's like the old songwriter said, time is built on swift transitions. None on earth unmoved can stand. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to build our hopes on things eternal and do what? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Are you going to do that, Union? Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Because y'all do know things change. People change. Your economic situation change. Relationships change. Your health status changes. But thank God that he doesn't change. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters. I don't know how you feel, but I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here holding on to God's unchanging hand? Amen. I don't know about y'all, but storm clouds may rise. Strong winds may blow. But I'll tell the world, wherever I go, that I have found the Savior and he's sweet. I said he's sweet. Have I got a witness here? Have I got a witness here? Does anybody know that Jesus is sweet? Why don't you just give him some praise this morning? Give him some praise.